Hey all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Oh!
My parents always had a saying that when the game stops, it was my mom's turn. She would always face out. All right.
Hey!
Hit it.
Susie! Hi, groomers! What's up today?
Yeah, well, welcome to episode 108 of the Groom Pod, recorded on January 29th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about getting in your own head, your own psychology. We're going to learn about amphoteric surfactants, and we'll chat a little bit about hearing protection. You can join the discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher and on iTunes or Google Play or pretty much anywhere else you can get podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner and our donation button at www.thegroompod.com. And remember to share us with all your friends and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Barbara, I want to tell you something about our sponsors, about one sponsor in particular.
Okay.
And that sponsor is Best Shot. Yes. Best Shot enabled us this week and a sale on the bandwidth company to purchase a big, gigantic package of bandwidth and storage so that we can leave all the archives up.
Oh, hallelujah.
So I did it. I pulled the trigger. I bought a big package. It comes with lots of storage. So even though I'm not going to put those first 15 or so back up, then we won't have to pull anything else down, at least not for this year.
Oh, so, excellent news. Thank you, Best Shot.
So what I was thinking is what would be really, really cool is if you guys go to a grooming show this year, anytime this year, and you go over to the Best Shot booth, you can either purchase something or you don't have to purchase something, but please let them know how much you appreciate the fact that they support the Groom Pod so strongly, because really they're fantastic and I'm so appreciative. And if you happen to buy something, do that too, but let them know just how much we love Best Shot for doing what they're doing, which is basically paying for our bandwidth. So there you go. How cool is that? How wonderful.
That's great. That's good news. And I can see that you're greatly relieved not having to ditch episodes.
Yes.
Throwing away babies.
Yes, it is. You had another idea, and I thought I'd bring it up because we're talking about ways that we can make some money. Number one, I have two ideas. Number one is the mug, t-shirt, product line, you know, pens or something like that, that you could buy through our website that have our logo on it. And what I'd like to know from you guys, and I'll put it up on Facebook, is would you be interested in supporting us by buying a mug or something of that nature?
I think mug and t-shirt would be the first two products.
Yes. Okay. Or if there's something else you would have a burning desire for that you think would sell really well, we're just trying to make it so that we can, it's like tipping your bartender at the end of the night. You go in, they serve you, you have a great chat, you get a little counseling, you know, have some entertainment. And then at the end of the night, you throw a little bit of change in the tip jar. So we also have a tip jar and it's on our website, www.thegroompod.com. And it is the donation button. So if you guys want to tip your bartenders or your grooming pals, you can go over to our website and hit that button, and you can just leave us even a dollar, like a dollar at the end of the night, like you would do a bad bartender. You could do that for us occasionally, and it would be really great.
We're not bad bartenders. We're the best.
No, we're great groomers, but, you know, just trying to illustrate a point. Of course, there's always the Amazon banner too. You know, click on the Amazon banner, do your Amazon shopping, and that doesn't cost you anything. But I think it's really cool. I was pizza delivery for a long time. And even in our own personal world as groomers, it's really nice to get a tip occasionally. And this is a way you guys can tip us for all of the hours and hours we put in for you guys with the Groom Pot.
You know, I had an Amazon, a really good Amazon moment this week.
Tell me about it.
And you know, I'm an Amazon Prime, and I swear that shipping that you get from that is worth it. So here's what happened. My second wall figura bit the dust.
Oh no.
It just stopped working.
Oh man.
It just turned off mid-clip.
That's frustrating.
The truth is, I can't groom without that clipper. I don't want to buy another kind. I'm not ready to bail out of the wall figura, but I got to have one.
Yep.
I went back to using the first one, which is rattly and not cutting very well, and that lasted one day. And then I had my two springers coming in this week on Friday, and I didn't want to be without that for doing the ears and the head and all of that work. And so I looked at Amazon, and I was amazed to discover that I could buy a new clipper for the same price that I paid last time from the certain mall. And you know what? I ordered it on Wednesday, and it was waiting for me Friday morning when I walked. It came in the mail Friday morning before I even got there.
I love Amazon.
God, and so what I did, I bought the chrome one because I've had two of the red ones, and I didn't want to buy another third red one and get them all confused as to which was which. So I bought a chrome one. It looks really cool.
I like it.
And we're chugging away, and I was just like so grateful for my Amazon Prime. I mean, I'm telling you, I ordered it on Wednesday, and it was there on Friday.
Not only do I have stock in Amazon, I shop at Amazon, and Amazon supports the Groom Pod. So I am a big, huge Amazon fan. Yay, Amazon. Plus, they're from Seattle, you know.
So there you go.
Cool. You know, this week was much less stressful for me, Barbara, because I had no new clients. Why? I don't know why it's so stressful. Well, maybe I'll learn as you shrink my head and everyone else's when we go into the next segment. But I find that really stressful. And I'm happy to have all my old favorites, like, you know, macaroni and cheese sitting in front of the television and your favorite sweats, that kind of clients. I had all that this week, although I did lose another dog to death.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who died?
Long-haired dachshund, stubbers. But he was a gazillion years old, and he was having some bowel problems, and, you know, it was his time.
You know, bowel problems are one of the hardest ones, things to put up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had already made it past the finish line. You know, he was doing really, you know, he was on borrowed time to start with. And then when that went, we had the talk, and they said, well, we think it's time. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. And I gave him a big cuddle and got the message.
You know, past the finish line, that's an interesting concept, because that's kind of how I felt with my Bichon Diva.
Yep.
You know, I felt like, I had her for at least 2 years longer than I thought I was going to. And she did real well up until the last week, and then bam, she went down the hill, and it was over. And it was one of the least emotional leavings that I've had. And it was because of the fact that she made it past the finish line.
Yep. A life well lived is one to be celebrated, even when you lose them. I mean, it's a lot easier to lose somebody like that than it is when I lost my best friend, you know, in the middle of our life. That was hard. This was same thing with the horse. You know, it was really hard, but she had made it also a little past that finish line.
The one for me that was the hardest loss was my Borzoi Arturo, because we were newly, it was only a 2-year relationship. In fact, I hadn't had him 2 years when we figured out he had the degenerative myelopathy. And, you know, and I just felt robbed of a soulmate.
Yep, I hate that.
For his, and he was only like maybe 9 years old at the most. That was a hard one, but sorry you lost another one, but you're doing good at picking. I picked up a new client this week. It's an English Cocker.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Really lovely dog and a lovely lady. And it's a breed that I haven't worked on too much. So it gives me a chance, you know, and it's funny because the English Cocker grooming is very much like the Springer, English Springer Spaniel grooming. And I just, and in fact, it was my new English Springer Spaniel client referred the new English Cocker client. And I said, when I'm sitting down kind of planning with a client on what to do, I said, well, how about if I groom her pretty much like I groom the Springers, and then we'll take it from there. And she said, that sounds like a plan. And she loved it.
You know? That is a groom I do really well. That's one, you know, give me 10 of those over that one long stupid doodle that I had last week. I realized that I am not the groomer for that dog. I'm just, after thinking it and chewing it over, I'm not the groomer for that dog. If it was like a lot of the other doodles, oh, shave it down every 3 months, I'm the groomer for that dog. That's easy. I just don't think I am the groomer for that doodle. So I don't know, but we'll see if she calls me back anyway. There you go. Looping back into my own head. It's unfinished business. It's driving me nuts.
We're going to talk about that in a little while, because we're going to talk about managing our own psychology.
Good plan. Hey, how about a trivia question? What is it, girl? Is it a fire? Is it Barbara? It's Barbara. Is Barbara in the well? No. Oh, it's time for Tail Wagon Trivia.
Okay, you got one?
I do. It's a little off base, but you can consider it a little window into my soul, this trivia question.
Great, okay.
We all know that there's horses at Disneyland, right? We've all seen the horses from Disneyland.
Right.
They also had a petting zoo back behind Big Thunder Mountain. And we're talking Disneyland here, not Disney World. Uh-huh. Disneyland. And I know you're familiar with Disneyland. So there was a petting zoo behind Big Thunder Mountain. And they also have dogs out at the security area, you know, to walk through and pass people, making sure you're not bringing bombs in or anything like that. But there is another animal that is employed at Disneyland. Do you know what that other animal is?
No.
I do. This trivia question I made up myself.
Can tell.
Yes, it's a fact, but I did just pull that one out of the air. Anyway, speaking of Best Shot, let's take a break, and then we will be back with our first appointment, which is all about getting in my head. You know, Broomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their 3-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their 3-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
Okay, Barbara, I've opened the barn doors and I'm letting you in my head. And obviously, I'm not dealing with this new client thing in a very positive
way. You are dealing with it very much, but not yes. in a productive manner.
Thank you. That's exactly what I mean. Part of the problem is I'm in my head, just like everybody else is, for like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours at a time, depending on how many dogs I'm drawing. Because that dog drawing time is in my head, listening to podcasts, of course, sometimes our own, sometimes other people. But there's also a lot of time there where I'm just zoning off and thinking about.
You know what? I'm going to go so far as to say that that is a significant drawback of mobile grooming.
I agree.
You know, I had a friend who actually had a psychotic break while mobile grooming, who was fine in a salon situation, you know, and I'm sure he had a proclivity to go there, which is why he probably shouldn't have been doing mobile grooming and being in his head, you know, so many hours per day. He just spun out, to use a race car driving analogy. He spun out from being in his own head too much. You know, we all have our psychology. Every single person has their tapes, has their mind gum.
Well, for the most part, you know, you open my barn doors and I have six stalls. Five of those stalls are filled with basically Willy Wonka's candy room. You know, that the room with the candy river and the lollipops. And that's what's in most of my head. Throw in the new client thing and that last stall door flies open where I stick all of my insecurities and boom, out they come.
Well, I am dealing currently with something of my own psychology. And I'll share it. Okay, you want to hear it? This is it. So I have a trigger that's, you could call it insufficiency is my trigger.
Okay.
So whenever I like come up insufficient, I go berserky inside of me, inside of my mind. I have a little bit of a hysterical response to that, you know. So my Springer Spaniel client with the two Springers, that's a big account.
Yes.
New client, new account, new breed for me because I really haven't been doing and working on that. But I thought I mastered it and knocked it down well. I groomed the dogs this week and she's texting me yesterday twice that she needs to come in for a touch-up because I didn't take off enough off of the hind legs, that the dogs are looking hammy. And I went into my head bad, you know? So I'm calling her names.
Right, personally, taking it personally, right off the bat.
Personally, like, instantly, just like, what the fuck, this damn bitch, you know,
the dog looked fabulous,
and then those dogs are picture perfect, I've got this knocked down, you know, and then I go into the next phase, bad Barbara,
right? Well, you're in my head. Only change the name.
Well, here, I'm not good enough. I'll never get this. So, like having the client coaching me on the breed trim is painful.
Okay, but there you go, right there.
Painful.
It's horrible, but you're looking at it wrong.
But I know. Okay, so yes. I self-corrected.
Good.
I self-corrected. I said, first of all, there was nothing in her communications to really imply that she wasn't nasty. She wasn't critical.
She just wants what she's paying for.
Just wants what she's paying for. Right. And I just didn't achieve it. You know, I mean, I almost fired her.
Yeah, bad, Barbara. That's bad, Barbara.
I almost just like cut her loose to go find somebody better.
And yet she didn't cut you loose, even though she didn't get what you wanted. You're lucky though, because for me, it would have been too little hair left back there. And that's a lot harder to fix.
I signed up for this.
Yep.
I knew that she was coming from a groomer who put in a lot of time on this breed. And I think even took one of these dogs into competition. And so this woman has an eye.
Right.
I'm really uncomfortable, but look it, I have a chance to recover here. She's giving me the opportunity.
And you're going to make a friend out of it because she's going to get what she wanted and you're going to get to keep that client.
Yeah. And the only thing is she wanted me to come in Monday or Tuesday, which is my days off. And I'm really trying to get an article done for Stephen and the e-journal. And it's not done yet. And I'm afraid to give up any more of those 2 days. And I'm reluctant to go in on my day off and make it be a bigger deal, even though it's quieter on my day off. But I offered her a Wednesday time when I'm there anyway.
And have you heard back?
She said it was all right. And then the other thing that I did was I forgot to give her credit card back.
Oh, crap.
So not only did I fail the grooming, I stole a credit card.
Oh, my God.
I can laugh about that.
Yes.
I can laugh about my Alzheimer's, but I can't laugh about my grooming.
The assault on your grooming.
Oh, seriously. Get off it, Barbara. I just wanted to talk about, we all have these automatic responses. We all have triggers. You know, I know where this reaction comes. It comes from my father telling me I'm not good enough over and over again. Yep. You know, anytime a customer should suggest that I'm insufficient, I just freak out. And I either hate them or I hate myself. And I just have to recognize that that's my psychology. And am I going to be my psychology or am I going to be my better self?
Right. You got to be the better self. I am able to often take a step back and rein it in when it's happening because I'm kind of good in emergencies. And that is a mental emergency. When I start feeling threatened like that and I want to bark out at somebody, I'm lucky. I can rein that in. My husband can't rein that in. So as a result, you know, not employable. He's not employable, but actually, you know, he works for himself and that works out much better for him. You got to find your spot in the world. And my spot in the world is definitely not taking criticism. Not good at it.
You know, and it's a reason why I never, I know that my difficulty with criticism is the reason why I've never competed.
Yeah, it was absolutely my hesitation in certifying.
Yeah, well, I managed to get over it with a certifying.
I managed to get over it in the ring because I'm on stage.
But the important thing I think that both of us are doing is that we're recognizing our own psychology, whether it's in the act or shortly thereafter or anyway, it's while we're in the process of freaking out or being weird or getting angry or whatever, we're recognizing when our psychology is running us and we're able to stop and step back and say, is this how I really want to be? In this matter, I don't really want to lose this client.
It sounds like a good client. I hang on to that one.
I mean, even though I could probably justify I could justify because I know I did a good job. I just didn't do what she wanted me to do in this particular area of the dog. And I told her I was sorry she wasn't happy. And then she came back and said, well, you know, it's you did it fine before. You just didn't do it this time. And so maybe that's true. Maybe I tried to oversimplify the grooming this time.
That's where photography is our friend. Take a picture of that dog butt this time after you're done getting it perfect. Yeah. And let her see that you're doing that, because all of this, fixing it, talking about it, communicating with her, not taking it personally, and then taking a picture for the future, that all just is going to solidify your relationship with this lady. I'm sure of it.
Here's the thing. If it becomes a pattern, then I will consider it in a different way.
That's different.
Because I have had clients. I had one client that I did two dogs. One was a standard poodle that I had to do puffs on. And the other was a standard poodle Bichon mix. Have you ever seen a giraffe Bichon?
No, I wish I could, though. That's an interesting one.
This was the longest legged Bichon. It was like Bichon on stilts.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, man. I never saw her make that dog look good. And then there was these damn puffs. Well, I've become better with puffs. I have a miniature that I do like show puffs on right now. And those puffs are pretty nice. But these people, it became like every time they wanted to bring the dogs back in for a redo.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And at a certain point, I just said, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I'm not able to provide the service you're looking for. Perhaps this person can send them on their way.
Yeah.
The thing that bugs me the most is knowing what I want to do in my head, but not being able to translate it into the dog and then having to take the dog in to the house. That was the most frustrating thing. Where I did the Havanese with this ouchy feet, that groom was just fine. The groom was fine. I had no worries about that. And the ouchy feet, I couldn't do anything about. That dang doodle, though. I knew what I wanted to do, and I didn't accomplish it. And then I had to go face the lady not accomplishing it. And I blamed myself, but you kind of alleviated a lot of that from me to the circumstance and the fact that the dog was not tangle-free. So, anyway, see there, Beck. So there we end in my barn.
I did a new doodle. I did a like a 4 or 5 month old puppy doodle yesterday that belongs to the daughter of a really good client with a little Bichon mix. And I did both dogs yesterday, and the doodle was mat free, but because the brother-in-law had gone in and chopped out mats, and they didn't want it shaved.
Oh yeah.
Oh God. So that doodle went home with divots.
You can only do so much.
You can only do so much. And I knew that if I took it down to the lowest common denominator of where the short point was on those chopped out areas, that she would hate the grooming.
Yes.
Because the reason that she had delayed so long before getting the dog to me was that she wanted that puppy look. She wanted her puppy, you know? Yeah. So I did him, and I did him with about the largest comb in the wall stainless set. And
would that be the light blue comb?
Yeah, it was either the light blue comb or the green comb. I can't remember which one I actually settled on the vacuum clipper. And then I scissored some with the chunkers and left the legs pretty full, but just trimmed lightly with the chunkers, did nice feet, and did a little bit of the face around the eyes. And he still had his look. She loved it, you know, and it was good. And then it was hard to have it be all right that there were those big divots.
I mean, when you get big divots like that, do you take blenders or chunkers around the edge of the divot to kind of soften it a little bit?
I had two Bichons in that went for dentals and got moles removed, and they made these big swaths. I swear vet techs have a vicious streak. I think they have just a little attitude about these fluffy groomed dogs, because they're, one of them just was, half the back was just shaved down for two little moles to be removed, you know. And now on those, I left the long on one edge and blended the other edge so that we kind of covered up about some of it at the, on the long edge. I got kind of tricky with those, but this doodle, I just let it be. You know, it wasn't
no patching it up.
There wasn't no really. There was no blending. no blendability there.
Oh goodness.
It was okay, and I just said, tell him not to do that. Don't do that.
Yes. Stop.
You know, I had told her, don't worry if there's some mats. We'll deal with it.
Yep, that's what you pay me for. That's what I tell people.
She bailed out of her appointment, and then it was 2 weeks more.
Oh, that's a lot.
And in those 2 weeks, brother-in-law chopped those mats out and chopped around his face.
Oh,
chopped
no.
Chopped the whiskers down. Well, then I didn't have to do it. So
right. Yeah, it dictates the styling a little up there when they take everything off.
The other half of that was that, and this made a difference, is that on the little Abby, and she's the one that I posted on my Facebook page a couple of weeks ago with the gold bow in her head. It was my awe moment. She's so cute.
She is cute.
Well, since I did her the last time, I rediscovered a pair of shears that I have that are really nice scissor finish shears.
Ah.
I scissor finished. I had time yesterday while Yvonne was combing out, was bathing and drying the big doodle puppy. I finished that dog so nicely. And I did, I was able to do around her ears what I've been trying to do, which is the actual scissored all over the surface of the ear, so she has these little ear muffs.
I love that.
Oh, she looks so good. I was so proud of that grooming, and that really helped buffer my psychology over not quite nailing it with the two springers. The satisfaction that I got out of my personal "this is okay" thing, wow, this is good grooming, you know, that helped me push past my psychology with the other client.
For me, that cookie was this last week of normalness, of all of my regular dogs, of everybody who already loves me, of visiting with all my clients, of, you know, the normalcy of this week, and some of my more challenging dogs. I did a couple challenging dogs this week, and when I'm doing them, I get that same feeling you get when you do a perfectly finished poodle. I get the, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because nobody else can make this dog have a nice time at this experience like I can, at least not in this neighborhood. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a moment and hear from the other wonderful sponsor who is supporting us all so well, which is South Park Professional Pet Products. Then we will be back with the definition du jour.
You know, I want to say something about South Park, about the foam, the pet foam.
Okay.
I was so impressed because I realize I hadn't, and I apologize for not realizing this before, but the ingredients are all on that container.
Oh, really?
It's right there. And I just love that.
Well, let's recognize that for sure, because
I want to recognize it because that's important to us. And they've listened. They've listened to groomers wanting information about ingredients, and on this brand new product, it's fully disclosed. It's an absolutely good, total integrity ingredient list on their the pet phone.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Lisa, for listening and being there for us in the Groom Pod. And you guys, if you're at a show, do the same thing for them as you guys are going to do for Best Shot. Walk up, buy a product, thank them for supporting the Groom Pod, and let them know that their advertising with us actually works. Meanwhile, here's their ad, and then we'll be back with our definition du jour. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
The definition du jour.
All right, Barbara, here we are. It's that time again. It's definition du jour time.
Okay, so what I've picked to define and talk about today is amphoteric surfactants. And the reason that I chose this is because this is a term that we run into on ingredient lists sometimes when the company is giving us one of those general kind of coconut cleanser.
One of those, the soft ingredient list.
Yeah, soft ingredient, dodgeball ingredient list, I call it, because that's what they're doing. They're dodging the identification of ingredients. And so you might find something that says anionic and amphoteric surfactants.
Okay.
Okay. So
I've seen that. I'm sure I've seen that.
So we all pretty much recognize the anionic surfactant is the detergent cleaner.
Right.
And that can be any number of things. But what's an amphoteric? Most likely, the short answer to this, most likely when you see it says amphoteric surfactant or amphoteric cleanser or anything that says amphoteric, it means it's got cocamidopropyl betaine in it. Right?
Okay.
That's the most common one. But what it is technically, an amphoteric surfactant, it's kind of the bisexual member of the surfactant family.
Okay. Hey, we're an equal opportunity show here, folks. We've got the bisexual surfactants featured today.
Okay, so here, I mean, it'll go both ways, okay?
Yes.
So it will either be anionic, which is grabs dirt or cationic, which means deposits things, depending on the pH of the formula.
The pH.
The pH. So in an acidic pH, an amphoteric surfactant is acts more as a cleanser. In a higher pH, an alkaline solution, an amphoteric surfactant will act as a depositor or a conditioner.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. Same ingredient, different.
It's real ACDC. It's real. It's really bi, right?
Yes.
Goes with the flow. What else I can say about it is that amphoterics are very gentle, very mild, and they improve the mildness, or they make other detergents less harsh. That's one of the reasons why you see it in nearly every shampoo base in the, you know, in the pet industry. Not everything, but I would say 80% of the pet shampoos have cocaminopropyl betaine in it. And if they're dodging the identification, you'll see it just say amphoteric. So all of the betaines, and hydroxysultane is another amphoteric, as is a common one, cocoamphodiacetate. Cocoamphodiacetate you find in sulfate-free formulas a lot. And the key to telling us that it's an amphoteric is this ampho, cocoampho diacetate, right?
Oh, right, okay.
Ampho in there is just your big clue that it's an amphoteric surfactant. That's kind of nice of it, right?
Language is amazing.
Language is amazing. And but here's something about both cocaminopropyl betaine and cocoamphodiacetate diacetate, is they can also be described as coconut derived.
Of course they can. They're quite a ways from the actual coconut, though, right?
Miles away from the actual coconut. You know, like I'm attempting to write a list of coconut derived surfactants or coconut derived cleansers. But, you know, I can say, I'm sure there's 24. It's such a dodgeball. It's such a makes you think that they're saying something about their product, and they're not saying anything.
Yeah, they're not at all. I mean, they're being shifty.
Even when they say amphoteric, you think, well, how technical? You know, oh, this is really a technical list.
Very fancy.
No, it's still a generalized, descriptive
poo-poo list.
Poo-poo list. Cocaminopropyl betaine is very mild. It does not irritate, but it has a history of causing some allergic reactions.
Uh-oh.
It took them, you know, the more they started using it, they started using it more and more when harshness became an issue. And because it really does have a way to combine with stronger detergents to make a larger molecule that is less likely to irritate the skin, and yet it still has good pick up the dirt and oil ability, you know?
Right. Is it possible that the more they use it, the more irritation shows up because more people are using it? Or is it actually more common?
Well, it's actually has more of a sensitizing allergic reaction effect than showed up in the animal studies.
Okay.
Animal studies show it as really a non-sensitizer. But what's happened in the human marketplace as it has been used is that it's been associated with a significant okay. number of allergic reactions. So we need to know this, and we need to know when it's in a product, because it's very hard to avoid.
And, right, it's everywhere.
You know, it's just another reason that we need to have true disclosure of ingredients.
You're not saying not to use a shampoo with it in there, but if you have a reaction on a dog, then you could go back and look at the label and say, this has some potential.
Here's a clue. If you have an animal or a bather who just reacts to almost everything, probably a cocaminopropyl betaine allergic reaction, because that ingredient is in almost everything.
Yeah, good detective work there, Barbara.
Thank you. I'll take that. I'll take that. when you have this dog and you have just about everything that you use, including your hypoallergenic shampoo, that they just keep having a reaction to, it may be an amphoteric surfactant reaction. It could be cocaminopropyl betaine. So just to know that. And just to know that saying amphoteric surfactant on a label is telling you little or nothing.
Jack squat.
But most often it's used when there's that particular one there. It's the cocaminopropyl betaine is by far the most used amphoteric.
Hi, Susie. I have a little PS postscript to add to my definition du jour this week. In the conversation about amphoteric surfactants, I have now learned, digging deeper this morning, that the betaines are unique among amphoterics in that they do not change their polarity depending on the pH of the water or the solution. So they're not bipolar or bisexual like we thought. The betaines maintain a permanent positive charge. Okay, so I don't want to mislead people that cocaminopropyl betaine is bipolar. It's not. It maintains a positive charge, whether it's in an acidic or an alkaline solution. Okay? So let's add that to my conversation, and I'm sorry if I've confused you all terribly. Okay, bye now.
All right.
Is that good enough for today?
I think that's good enough for today.
Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Now on to our At the Table segment, Barbara. What?
Hey, what? What?
So you know, this is one of those subjects we've covered before, but I think it's an important one that we should cover every year. So here we go. We're going to cover it again. We work in an extremely noisy environment, don't we?
Yes, and it's not just dog barking.
Although that's a good one.
Although that's my life.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is those HV dryers at the deflection point at which the air bends on the dog. Those things are dreadful. They're over 110 decibels sometimes, right? We did some testing, didn't we?
We did some testing. I bought a device.
And guess what? We all have a device now. There's decibel meters on our phones. So if you have ever been curious, go download a decibel app. I don't know how accurate they are, but they're accurate enough. Yeah. So when Barbara, this was way back when we were doing the Groom TNT list, the email group, and Barbara offered up this decibel meter and she sent it out to some of us groomers as well. And we tested everything in our environment. It was really cool. Yeah. Do you remember anything in specific?
Well, I remember that the K9 2 dryer on both motors was over the safe decibel.
Yeah, safe decibels, especially for us where we're in it all day long, is like 85 decibels. Long-term exposure over 85 decibels is causing hearing damage. Now, gals like Barbara and I, we did a lot of rocking in our day. A lot of standing in front of speakers, and in Barbara's case, singing in front of speakers. In my case, rocking out in front of speakers. And a lot of the groomers of the early era, they didn't ever use hearing protection.
No, it was unheard of.
Which is why all the older groomers sit up front in those grooming seminars. They've got to be able to hear. I don't want to be that way, Barbara. I don't want to end up like that.
Well, it's important then that you take hearing protection seriously. So there's two sources of loud noise with the HV dryers. One is from the motor and the other is from the hose. So
okay.
The type of nozzle that you use makes a huge difference. And the most loud piercing sounds come from the cone nozzle. And it's not just the nozzle itself, but it's what it's interacting with. So if you hit your grooming arm with the air from the cone nozzle, it'll spike your decibels.
It sure does. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. So, you know, I have greatly reduced my use of cone nozzle.
Although so have I
still like it. The first go over with the dryer, you know, I towel well first and then knock off what I can with the cone nozzle, but then either go to another nozzle, which is a more diffused round nozzle or one of those flat nozzles, because the decibel output at the nozzle is much less for a slightly diffused nozzle than it is for those little round cone nozzle openings.
Here's what's happened to me. I started out wearing hearing protection only for when I was drawing the dogs. I now wear hearing protection start to finish. I just wear it because I'm listening to the podcast through my hearing protection anyway. But for the most part, I just find I'm so worried, especially with my clipper vac. The clipper vac in a tiny enclosure, you know, without any place for that sound to go.
Hey, the thing about the mobile units is that they're not insulated for sound, not at all. There's no insulation. You know, it did, for me, it even made a difference when I put down our foam pads on the floor.
Definitely made a difference for me.
Definitely made a difference in the how much sound was bouncing around. You have to be kind of an engineer. You know, you got to be a time manager. You got to analyze your workspace. And one of the ways you want to analyze your workspace is the noise level. And those smooth walls, which are easy for cleaning inside a mobile unit, they just bounce sound waves off of them.
They sure do. It's just a noisy environment. It's like being trapped in a toaster or a microwave and just having sound waves bombard you from every direction. So I now wear my hearing protection all the time. And any hearing protection that you purchase should have an NRR number on it. And that's the noise reduction number of how many decibels it will take down from the total amount of decibels you have. So the average for over-the-ear earmuffs is about 33 decibels, and there are even some that go as high as 35 protection-wise, but that's about as good as it gets. And then it can actually go down a lot lower. And people think, especially with things like cotton balls, people think they're protecting the dog's ears with cotton balls. Guess what? Cotton balls only block like 5 decibels.
Yeah, 5 to 7. 5 to 7 decibels up from cotton balls, and that's not much.
So let's do the math. So you've got an HV dryer. Let's even say it doesn't have a cone nozzle on it, but it's up against the dog's head, so the air is deflecting. You've got it right next to the dog's neck. You're drying underneath that neck, and you've stuck a cotton ball in there. Well, that's like, instead of 110 decibels, it's 100 decibels. It's still way the heck over 85. And in my opinion, a reason why a lot of dogs really hated grooming. So happy hoodies help with that for the dogs, but we've got to protect ourselves as well. So there's a bunch of different types of ear protection, lots of different types. So we start with talking about cotton or putting your fingers in your ears. Actually, putting your fingers in your ears works for a very short period of time. Of course, we have our hands full, so it doesn't really help us. But if you ever find yourself in a environment and you've got a, okay, for instance, there's a ride at Universal Studios in Florida called the Hulk. It's a roller coaster. The entryway to the Hulk used to have deafening music. It was so loud it made my fillings rattle. But I always put my fingers in my ears and ran through that room. And apparently that was good enough. So fingers in your ears does turn out to be a little bit effective. The next step up, especially in comfort level, I would say, is those disposable foam earplugs. And you've used those, right?
Yes. And I forgot to look up the site.
So Barbara had this website, which we can no longer find, that used to send you out a sample pack of all kinds of different disposable earplugs. My problem with the disposable earplugs is I have teeny tiny ear canals. I roll them up and I put them in my ear and then I stick my finger on the outside and I hold it there. And 3/4 of the time it just pops out.
Oh, that's frustrating.
It is.
I can't get Yvonne. I can't get her to wear earplugs. I barely can get her to wear a mask, and she'll do that only if she's really bothered by the hair that's fallen off a dog. And it's so hard to get employees to wear hearing protection. They just don't get it. And another thing that I learned when I studied the hearing thing is that it's accumulative through the day.
Right, exactly.
So you know, like you've got like 15 minutes over 100 decibels, but that's over the whole day, including when you go home and get in the car and turn the music up too loud. People, listen to this. Hearing damage is not repairable. You cannot rest your ears, regrow the little filaments or whatever. Hearing damage is permanent.
Yeah. If those foam earplugs drive you crazy, you might consider having an ear mold made and having custom ear foam plugs made. Those are not disposable. Those you keep yourself and then you got to clean them and all that kind of stuff. But that's another option. Then there's I always used to drive me crazy. The cone foam earplug on the hoop that went over your head. A lot of people still, though, they use those. Have you ever tried those? I don't think they're very effective.
The people that sent me their restraint, their flank strap and neck restraints, sent me a set of those earplugs that go over the head. I thought they were
Yeah, I didn't think that. Well, maybe it's because of my weird ears, but they didn't block a lot of noise for me. Remember, they all have a rating, so you can look up the ratings online when you purchase your hearing protection. The way that I've landed, though, is I have Bluetooth over-the-head earmuffs. So I've got full-on earmuffs, but I can still hear the phone. Well, I can hear the phone now because it comes through my headphones. And I can also podcast the Groom Pod through my headphones or the radio through my headphones. Or I don't have to have anything through my headphones at all. But I love my they're not new. I've had them a couple of years. My gun muffler headphones with Bluetooth. And I know in places like where you're at, Barbara, it's probably pretty warm to wear over the ear earmuffs. But for me, it never gets so hot that I can't tolerate them. And I do wear them almost start to finish with the grooms. If I am finishing scissoring or something like that, then I take them off and I put it through my Bluetooth speaker into the trailer. But for the most part, I just leave those headphones on the whole time. Now, the dogs are missing out on the education that I'm getting from the podcast, but I don't think they mind that much. So is there anything else we should know about hearing protection other than that you need to wear it for it to work?
No, but I do suggest that you look around. If you're going to try foam earplugs, look for a sample pack because they're different.
They sure are.
They're not all the same. And some are softer, some are smaller. You know, that you've got to kind of try a few before you find what's perfect and comfortable for you. And then when you find a comfortable hearing protection, you're going to want to use it.
Yeah, it's easier to use when it's comfortable, for sure.
Right.
And also the other thing is it takes 30 days to make a habit. So you're going to have to consciously put that hearing protection on for 30 days right in the forefront of your mind before it becomes automatic. For me, it's automatic, like putting on a seatbelt. I just automatically reach for it when I start the groom.
When I reach for hearing protection, I'm going to tell you a little secret.
What?
Well, you know, like my grooming table is now separate in a different room from the tub and drying area. So right. I'm not in the middle of that noise anymore. But what happens is that Yvonne is back there, and Yvonne is very vocal. Talks to the animals all the time. And I can empathize, because when I started out grooming, I talked to the animals all the time. Now it's fewer words and more body contact and you know, other yep. kinds of communicating that I do with them. But she's cajoling them all the time. Come on, buddy, let me do this. It's just a little come on. But and there are times where I just don't want to hear it.
Oh, I understand.
And then I put on my headphones, and there it's, you know, and then it just like fades into the background. And
yeah, know. Then you can reside permanently in your headspace, like we were talking about in the beginning of the show. all right. Okay. So how about the answer to the tail wagon trivia question, Barbara? Have you been thinking about it?
Yeah. What kind of other kind of an animal that they have at Disneyland?
And we're not talking, you know, frogs or anything like that. This is an actual animal that's employed at the park.
I'm going to say elephant.
Nope. It is cats. They employ and keep feral cats in Disneyland. And you only, if you're very quiet and very special and go to certain areas of the park, do you ever get to see those cats. But they are there providing important rodent control. How about that?
That's good. Well, good.
I know. I always think I feel like it's going to be a good day if I see one of the cats.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that, my friends, is going to wrap it up this week on the Groom Pod. So please hit our Facebook page and let us know if you're interested in buying something like mugs or t-shirts, because I'll set that up on the website for us if, in fact, you guys are. Remember to tip your bartenders and servers. That's Barbara and I over at the donation button on the website, www.thegroompod.com.
Save up your education and entertainment every week.
Yes, indeed. Have a fantastic week of grooming, and we'll be here next week for more fun. Happy grooming. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks.
Hang in there, people. See you next week.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.